Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm getting an update from Aclara Resources, and we're going to be talking about the company's announcement to move into more of a vertically integrated heavy rare earths company, positioning itself to develop rare earth separation capabilities in the U.S. I'm chatting with Francois Mote, the CFO of Aclara Resources. Aclara is traded on the TSX under the symbol ARA. Now, I've chatted with Francois in the past about the company advancing their heavy rare earth ionic clay projects in Chile and Brazil. Now we're talking about the next step for the company, where they have incorporated a US-based subsidiary that is focused on developing this rare earth separations capability. Francois, let's just start off high level. Why is it important here for Aclara to, one, have the assets in South America of ionic clays and now look to vertically integrate in this separation ability for these heavy rare earths?
Absolutely. Thank you, Corey. I'm very happy to be here again. I think the separation and all the vertical integration was a natural step for us. Initially, we were very focused on developing mainly the deposits that we have both in Chile and now in Brazil. But I think we have a good size already, no? With the deposit in Brazil, which is quite large, we have achieved future production that is good enough or big enough that we feel comfortable. And now we wanted to give a more refined product to our potential customers, because the value chain of rare earths is quite complex, is fully controlled by China, and we are almost one of the only ionic clay companies outside of China. So the solutions we might get or we will get from third parties in the West are potentially going to be very low or not going to be that many. So it was a natural step for us to focus on vertical integration, especially on the following step, which is separation, but taking the opportunity with the deal with CAP to go up to metal and alloys.
Now, vertical integration, it's something that I want to see in more resource companies because it can improve the underlying value of the company. Too many resource companies, I think, focus so much on producing a raw material, a commodity, and then immediately turning around and selling that commodity, sometimes adding middlemen to the process before it gets to the end user. How does the separation capabilities satisfy that? Does it then take the ionic clays from the ground into the end user like CAP?
So basically, we are going to produce at the mines a mixed rare earth carbonate, which is charged in heavy rare earths. That mixed rare earth carbonate now has the 15 elements together, and we need to separate into it into individual rare earth oxides. These individual rare earth oxides are going to be the input for the metals and alloys. So what happens today, Corey, is that the capabilities in the West for rare earth separation are very low. And the reason is because there has been historically a very little production from mines, and therefore there has been no fit to support many endeavors in relation to the value chain. And more specifically, the only two mines that have existed for some times in the West, which are MP Materials with their mine of in California, and Lynas with their mine in Australia and processing in Malaysia, these businesses are light rare earths. So the separation that has been developed in the West is more related to light rare earths. Here we are bringing a little bit of complexity because we are going to produce heavy rare earths and the separation becomes a little bit more difficult. We are going to continue to work with some potential partners, but we prefer from now on to start investing and start being a first mover on the ionic clay carbonate separation, no, going forward.
So this is still early stage, but let's walk further down the road here and discuss how investors could benefit from this vertical integration, valuation-wise, but also long-term holder-wise.
Absolutely. So I have 3 points to talk about that. First is we are going to be able to get much better commercial conditions for our deposits, for the carbonates we're going to be producing. And this is something that is obvious. If we get together with a potential OEM, let's say an automaker or a tier one electric motor producer, they are not going to be willing to put the value chain together. And that means that have to negotiate with potential separators. And that's, as you said, is adding a middleman. So by doing it ourselves, we cut the middleman and we can negotiate directly to with the end customers, which we think are the ones that are going to be willing to pay more for this. Secondly, as you have seen, raw material producers or or production by mines or mining endeavors which are not integrated normally trade in the stock exchange at 3 to 4 times EBITDA. And if you see mining integrated companies, for example, even in the rare space, talking about MP Materials, or in the lithium space, talking about Albemarle or Pilbara, you see that they are trading between 10 to 20 times EBITDA. So that's a direct value generator for investors.
So, Francois, let me ask you this then. Why has it been so difficult for companies, or why haven't we seen more companies do this sort of vertical integration in the Western world outside of China?
I think the main I issue has been the fit. No, China, why it has developed all this value chain there, because they have the perfect combination between the production of light rare earth in the north in their Bayanowo mine and the production of heavy rare earth in the south in the ionic clay deposits. So they have had all of these to support the creation of the value chain. In the West, as I mentioned, we have very little businesses producing rare earths, only two today that produce only light rare earths. And therefore, why companies would be investing in value chain where there was no clear future of heavy rare earth production. As a company, having the feed in our hands, it reduces a lot of the risk of that risk, no? And we are then, I would say, managing another risk, which would be more the technical or the technology risk. But if we come through with this, we will be able to have feed that is processed there, no? That is the main reason.
So with the assets that already have resources around them in Brazil and Chile, why are you focused in the US to develop these separation capabilities?
We are going to develop the project in the US, but we are not taking the decision to build it there yet. We are leaving the Chile and Brazil as potential places to build the industrial facility. The reason we're developing the project in the US is because the US government has been quite interested in funding and helping processing projects for rare earths. And the idea with that is that we could leverage on that and could be a win-win situation. What we would be presenting, for example, to the US government is that plus having the heavy rare earth feed from two countries, which also reduces, the political risk. We maintain open, Chile and Brazil, because we need to do, of course, a thorough analysis on costs. And of course, we need to see if Chile and Brazil will be also willing to support this type of businesses or vertical integration in their countries. At the end, what we are going to do is analyze the best option between these three jurisdictions, and based on the best economic and qualitative analysis, we're going to put the plant there.
Okay, so this is still very early on. You just incorporated the US-based subsidiary. Can we put a general timeline on how long it could take to develop these sort of separation capabilities to have an actual end ability here to build a facility somewhere?
So we are targeting initially a class 5 CapEx, which is very conceptual. This study is being developed by the Saskatchewan Research Council, which is now SRC, that they are basically designing the flow sheet. And then we are bringing Hatch, this very reputable engineering company, not to do that, certainly do the engineering and we will have this initial base case during the third quarter of this year. Based on that, and based on the economics we see, we are going to pass to a phase if we decide to continue, not to refine that flow sheet. That means having the lowest environmental impact, no, and of course having the lowest cost and CapEx possible. But we are going to prioritize, in any case, the environmental size and the sustainability features because that's part of our core of the company. So I cannot tell you if this project could take 2, 3, 5 years. Potentially, this is a this type of projects take normally 5 years, but that's within a little bit the range of how much we're going to take to put the Carina module into production. And it's very important because the Carina module is the asset that will give us enough size, no, or fit to make a plant of this the of no in this stage viable. Only when we had only the Penco module production is still too small and will not support an investment for separation. So in any case, we believe that we are still in a good timing to make not to put this project going forward and have it ready more or less in the timing we will have in the Carina module in operation.
What about costs involved with moving this forward, developing this separation capabilities? How do you go about funding it? What is the agreement here with CAT to move this forward?
So the separation part, we are doing it within Aclara, no, only. At this point, if CAP invest at the holding level, which they have an option, they will have exposure to this project. And initially, the expenditure, I can tell you, is not high. But of course, this is going to be a stage gate process. So as long as we develop the engineering and see that it makes sense to continue investing, the investment will grow. But as we have analyzed it, we are before these numbers, before the construction CapEx, are much lower than, for example, developing a mine. Our board and our shareholders are very pleased to go through that path of vertical integration, are going to be willing to invest on that. But of course, it makes important to bring governments into this equation and see what how we can get support from them, not to reduce the financing risk. And CAP, with CAP, we're doing the metals and alloys, no, that's the following stage of separation. They have funded with 3 million to start the project. And these 3 million, we expect to spend them in 3 years. If we are super successful, it might be that we spend them faster, but I think CAP has all the motivations, no, to keep funding this project because they understand very well that what I explained, no, that the basically no the big gains of investors of having an integrated company, and they, as you know, have the option to increase their participation from 20% to 40% in the Penco module. So as long as we do efforts to bring better commercial terms to the Penco module, they will be more than happy to invest on that.
So what comes next, Francois? Again, still early stage here, but what sort of news will we see out of the company to show that this new aspect of Aclara is moving forward as planned?
We are planning to issue a conceptual study on separation on Q3. No, that conceptual study will give us CapEx, OpEx, no, and of course a good understanding of the main risk and the main focal points where we need to put attention going forward. So that is the first outcome of this. In relation to metals and alloys, I think we are a bit on an earlier stage. We are defining the team with CAP. CAP has a lot of metallurgists that know very well how to do ferroalloys, and we're bringing experts on the rare earths, metals and alloys business to complement their capabilities. And with them, we're going to define a project, and we will be announcing when we could have some sort of similar outcome than separation. At this point, we have not said that because, as I mentioned to you, we just made the strategic partnership with them, and we are configuring the project.
Okay. Francois, thank you very much for addressing these questions. I know it's very conceptual, early stage here, but I think this is a growing up of the company, at least moving in that direction. I'll post a link to the April 3rd news release that announces this US-based subsidiary, provides some more details on this vertical integration strategy. So if any of you have any follow-up questions, please email me. I'll get Francois back on the show to continue to cover the advancements of the company on the asset side, but then also on this rare earth processing side as well. So Francois, thank you for your time today. I appreciate the update.
Thank you very much, Corey.